This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This doesn't happen to us.
You guys just... It's fine.
No, it's not.
I can't have anyone freak out there, okay? You gotta keep our composure.
It's gonna be fine.
Down 3-1 is not fine.
It will be fine.
Got too far. There's too much to lose. It's not even... Keep our composure.
It's not fine. Sit over here and pout.
2 seconds, one. We're going to game seven. The Blackhawks have spotted the Blues a 3-1 series lead and have now tied this series at 3 games apiece. Game seven will be Monday night in St. Louis for all the marbles in this series.
It will be fine.
The denial comes through. The voice of reason that is Andrea Darlis. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I told you guys.
By the way, I just realized I made a terrible error. This is what happens when you get dressed in the dark. I'm wearing a blue golf shirt.
Yeah, that's okay.
I shouldn't be wearing blue on today.
Mm. Yeah, not really.
Oh. Thank goodness I still have my red thong on. My Blackhawks thong. It's a little uncomfortable. 6:11 in the morning, and the big show business news, I guess, is still Kelly Ripa's fight with Michael Strahan. But she's coming back to work tomorrow. The big news that really matters is President Obama's committing more troops to Syria. The big political news is Trump's expected to roll tomorrow. But the big local news is obvious. Saturday night, the Blackhawks come out. They just were... They scored the first goal, and then for the next 18 minutes, didn't know where the puck was. Didn't know who was playing. Skated around like a bad video game where all your guys are going in the wrong direction. Came out in the second period. I can't wait to talk to Q later, because he won't tell us, but I'm going to ask him. What'd you say to them? What'd you say to them between periods? What'd you say to them in that first intermission? They came out, well, just like they were fire.
They really did.
And it's not just the three goals. They absolutely manhandled the Blues in the second period.
At one point, they were out shooting them, I believe, 19-4 in the second.
Yeah.
And the scoring chances were through the roof.
Yeah, and the Blues got a couple of cheap shots later that didn't come. You know, didn't come. Corey Crawford got hit in his special area. Nobody wants to get hit in your special area.
No.
And, you know, he saw stars for a while. Every guy in the building went, ooh, that's not good. And he stood up like a man and stood on his head for another 20 minutes. And then the third period, the Blues looked pretty good early. And then, you know, it's like the Hawks were just playing with it. It's like, look how cute you are. Look how cute you are with the puck. Now I'm going to take it. We're going to end up at our end.
And then you got Tarasenko and Hitchcock exchanging words.
Yeah, Tarasenko didn't get his minutes on the power play. He was not happy. Not happy. Now, we'll get word out of St. Louis later, but what I'm hearing is that the people of St. Louis are already going golfing. They've quit. They've quit. They've actually
quit.
They
won't quit.
That's good. We want to quit.
It's hard, though. If you're a Blues fan, I would understand that. It's hard to believe that after giving up a 3-1 lead, you just need one of the last three. I've given up two of those chances. But how about both teams are 1-2 at home? Another good thing.
But every game until Saturday have been one goal.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of overtime games. This is the first time one team really asserted itself. And so, see if
absolutely
that carries
great.
Over.
Absolutely great. Paul Conrad, standing by Channel 9. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you see the Hawks game?
I did. I saw the second and third period.
Do you have a particular sound you make when you're excited watching sports?
Nope. I'm very quiet, and I would I appreciate when people around me are quiet.
Do the kids get excited?
They were not watching this game. But when they are, yes.
Yeah.
They do.
Because John Weidman and Troy Murray both have excited sounds.
Yes.
The guys that call the games. Weidman's a ha, and Troy Murray's a whoop.
Yeah.
A ha and a whoop. A
right.
Whoop and a ha.
Hard first goal of the playoffs!
See, oh, so a hoo hoo. Can I hear that again?
Playoffs!
Okay, so that's the Troy Murray. And then when you're ready, give me a John Weidman ha.
Ha ha!
See, there you go. A ha-ha and a whoo!
Yeah.
It's pretty strong. Pretty strong.
It's powerful, yeah.
It's all you need as a Hawks fan. I trust you had a delightful weekend.
I did. Had a very, very nice weekend. A lot of baseball, a lot of fun things.
All right. Now, are you the type of parent at the kids' baseball games that argues with the umpire
no.
and yells at the coach to put your kid in?
No. I'm always kind of baffled by that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know if you know, it's about the kids.
Right. Now, I do try to work myself into the lineup, which... you know, you're going to be at all the games. At some point, you want to be able to play an inning or two.
It does get slow.
Yeah.
And if you are playing, do the other parents go, that is a big kid?
Yeah.
And what sometimes. About that hair loss?
And he could be a little faster going around the bases.
I hope he can hit because he sure can't run. I heard a story this weekend from someone on the show who I can't name at this time.
Okay.
Whose kid is in a baseball league, and one of the coaches in this league is Kerry Wood.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be intimidating.
I'd like to be the dad and Kerry Wood your assistant coach.
Right.
It wasn't a strike.
That's a difficult situation.
Woody comes up and goes, hey, need any advice?
No, I'm good. Just shut up and sit on the bench.
I know I'm doing.
I'm running this team. Don't need amateurs like you. Yeah, that would...
It's not good.
You just hand him the keys and say, listen, I'll sit in the car when it's done. Bring my kid to the car.
I think in the beginning, when you look at the roster that you get as a coach, you can see the kids' names and you find out Kerry Wood's the kid's dad. I'd cut the kid.
Right.
I'd cut the kid in the spring before they even play the game.
We don't need this kind of distraction in our game here.
I'm trying to fool these kids and I know what I'm doing. I don't need a professional in here.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
All right, what's on the big Channel 9 show this morning? Anything worth watching?
Nothing that I can think of. All the things that you talked about, I'm sure we'll dance around here as well.
Right. You guys get most of your material from this show, anyway.
Basically, yeah. We do it like 15 seconds after you report it. We write it down, and then we run it. So it's the same stuff.
All right. It's about time for you to do the weather. So for people watching Channel 9, everything Paul says is what I'm saying. So just turn the sound down and enjoy the show.
All right.
All right. Delightful.
All my love. Hey, I'm glad you wore the outfit I left out on the counter for you today also.
Red Blackhawks long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Money, 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 money. 6:20. Always good to talk to our friend Elise Glink. We'll do that in just a second. Dave, do you know the first ever pick in the first ever NFL draft? You know the history?
It wasn't Jay Berwanger, was it?
That's exactly right.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Jay Berwanger won the first Heisman Trophy. The University of Chicago halfback drafted number one overall by the Eagles, eventually traded to the Bears. The old Berwanger. You know what they used to call him? The old Berwanger. Because you really can't get a good nickname out of that. We need to call him the Wanger.
Right. No, I...
Yeah, a little draft trivia for you.
Good trivia.
And Saturday we will be live at Draft Town, or are we going to be live somewhere else?
We're going to be live. We're going to kind of be all over the place.
Oh, we are
starting Thursday, actually, with when the draft gets going.
But Saturday is the big all day thing.
Well, we're going to be doing draft coverage all day, basically from noon. I'm going to be here for the business lunch. We're going to do the business of the draft to start things off at noon.
Okay,
and we're going to have Hamp and OB.
Right.
With their analysis, because by then the Bears will be well into the draft. They will have.
Yeah, Thursday's your big pick.
Thursday's first round.
Yeah.
Then you have second and third rounds on Friday, and then the rest of it Saturday.
And Hamp will be on with us Thursday and Friday.
I believe so.
Yeah. All right, good. So there's a little draft preview for you. At 6:22, the lovely and talented Elise Glink. At Glink and thinkglink.com. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. It's Monday. Do we have any money left?
Oh, the money is just pouring in. It's the beginning of the week, Steve.
No, I don't mean your money. I mean, in general, the rest of us who don't know what we're doing. Do we have any money?
I don't know if you have money, but I know where you can find some money smarts.
MoneySmartWeek.org?
It is. Money Smart Week is up and running again. This is, the 14th year that the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago has sponsored it, and it is bigger and badder than it ever has been.
I remember the first one, because we promoted it on the old, I think I was doing the midday show then. The first one was like a guy on the corner with a can, and he just was showing people how to collect nickels. Now it's vendors, it's experts, it's resources galore, isn't it?
It's really impressive. I also was around. I was working for WGN-TV
right.
at the time. And Carol Fowler, who was our news director at the time, had been called to a meeting at the Fed. And let's just say that when you get called to a meeting at the Fed, you don't say no. Plus, they feed you. She came back, and she dropped this thing on my desk and said, "You're the money lady. Fix this. Do something for it."
And well, you like an assignment with broad parameters.
Listen, there was a lot of room for me to maneuver. I like that. And so in the beginning, there were probably about 100, maybe a couple of 100 events held all over Chicago in six languages, which all of us thought was pretty spectacular, and I interviewed a woman named Liz Hanlon, who was running it for the Fed at the time. And then we went out and we did some stuff with kids and money on TV. That's always good. And it was a really great event. And then the next year, it grew by about 100%. And the next year and the next year. And it was funny because about a year or two after it started, I was down at the Federal Reserve Bank in Atlanta. And they said, what's going on up in Chicago? And I said, oh, there's this thing called Money Smart Week. You guys ought to do it. And they were like, nah. And then now they're a part of it. In fact, almost it's nationwide. And you can find free programming this week that'll teach you all kinds of things to do with money all over the country.
If you go to moneysmartweek.org, you click on the Find Events tab. It's easy to find stuff going on all over. But the FAQ tab is a handy one as well. And you mentioned the kids' TV stuff. Sure, it looks great on TV. But if you teach your kids about money now, that's like teaching your kids to exercise when they're young. It's a gift they have their whole life.
Well, it's teaching them to fish, which in today's world, it's so hard to earn money. We hear so much about income inequality. We hear about how people don't have enough. 63% of Americans are broke. They don't even have $500 in savings. 72 or 75% of Americans don't even have $15,000 in a savings account for retirement. So when you look at those kinds of numbers, you realize that the magic has to start with teaching kids how deferred, you know, gratification works and how saving today is really good for tomorrow, and that even if you don't get very much interest in a bank, it's better than stuffing it under your mattress.
Yeah, because until we go negative with interest, stuffing it under your mattress is not the play you want to make. Here's some of the things happening today. The changing landscape of the banking industry. What's geocache and can it work for me? Where will I live when I grow up? Housing options as we age. Funeral pre-planning, why it makes sense. Credit and loans. You could tour the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Identity theft. Go green with your money. Reverse mortgages and budget hacks for young parents and others. And that's just part of today's schedule.
Right. Tomorrow I'm going to be with the YWCA over at the CBO, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, and we're going to be giving a talk, and very impressive women who will be on the panel with me, talking about investing and life choices that we've made with money, answering questions. And there are events like this happening all over the Chicagoland area. So if you live in the city, great. You can go to the Chicago Public Library today. If you live on the south side, on 47th Street, you can go to one at that Chicago Public Library. But the best thing to do, really, is to kind of look around at the schedule happening every day this week and say to yourself, okay, today is Tuesday. It's not, it's Monday. And what do you want to learn about? And then you can go to any of these events for free.
Very nice. Well done by you. The only question I have about all of this is, these are all money experts holding this stuff, right? Because if this were state or city government doing it, the credibility wouldn't help.
Yeah, I don't think Governor Rauner is giving any speeches this week.
Yeah, well, you know what? Rom shouldn't be on that list either at this point until they find out where the money is. And why didn't they license this? Why didn't they license this at the beginning? The city should license everything at this point. You want a good idea from Chicago? Give me $10. Give me a dollar. Whatever.
Yeah, it would have been good. I think, you know what's funny? In all honesty, Steve, not everybody thought Money Smart Week was a good idea. Back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, what the Fed was doing was they were printing a lot of paper and handing it out, and that was how they were trying to teach people about money.
Right.
Today, it's everybody realizes that in person with these sessions where you can have video and audio and
sure.
Really cool stuff, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, a near depression will wake up everybody. good luck tomorrow. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. See you soon.
At Glink. ThinkGlink.com. It's Elise Glink at 628. Dr. Kevin Most this morning on all sorts of health topics, but a couple in particular that are going to be very important to you. It's Monday. You look a little sick to me. Dr. Most in 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
All right, who are we going to call, John?
He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day, and at 641. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
All right, you playing a golf this weekend?
I played yesterday with our good friend Larry Ryan, and we got 18 in just a little over 2 hours, so it was perfect.
That is good. Did you run?
Yeah, we had Mac caddying for us, so we were really moving pretty quickly.
Mac is this legend out at Butterfield who, you know, Doc is an ex-caddy himself. And Doc likes to torture Mac. He'll put, like, weights, you know, like a 10-pound dumbbells and things in the bag. Just to see if Mac will survive.
Mean. My cousin was a caddy at Butterfield. He always said nice things about Doc Most, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And Doc, you caddied, and that led to you actually getting a paid education, didn't it?
Yeah, I was fortunate to get my Evans Scholarship after caddying at Butterfield. And my dad caddied at Butterfield, so it's kind of been a family thing now going on for a while.
The Evans Scholar Foundation, great if you're charitable and you want to help kids find their way. Pays for college tuitions every year at unbelievable numbers. Doesn't toot their own horn. We toot it for them. Dave, you had a thought? You look confused.
Can we go back to the two-hour, 18-hole round?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about it?
How do you...
They don't play well. They just play fast.
We played in 218.
Good for you.
Was this a foursome? Crazy.
We started out four and ended up three.
Yeah. That's when the speed kicked in.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the positive side. Now, you and Larry Ryan, we like Larry a lot. Larry's a friend. And he's a brilliant guy. But you have a long-standing streak of never qualifying for your club championship and embarrassing yourselves in tournaments. Will that continue this year?
Yes, it will. Yes.
Right, good.
You know, Larry and I have been friends since grade school, and Larry was an Evans Scholar as well. And yeah, he's a great banker. You know, he really does great work for MB, but our track record is not so stellar.
Maybe he has an antibiotic resistance problem.
Well, you get in those tournaments, and they expect you to play in 4 hours, and Larry and I like playing in two.
Yeah, it's really not about the number. It's about how fast you can play.
That's right.
All right, so antibiotic resistance. You know, look, we all want antibiotics for everything. And the problem is, the more we put out there and put out into the world and into the system, the more this resistance problem comes up. So let's pretend I'm not nearly as smart as I think I am. Explain this to me and why it matters.
Okay, so the simple thing about antibiotic resistance is bacteria are pretty smart. We fortunately, since 1928, Alexander Fleming gave us penicillin. But since that time, we've exposed bacteria to antibiotics. As they get smarter, as they mutate, the antibiotics stop working. So the problem is that now we're getting to a point where we have some bacteria that we don't have antibiotics for. And that's going to put us in a world of hurt. Some of the even more simpler ones, people have probably heard of MRSA. You know, we've talked about MRSA before. Methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. When I was a resident, we could treat Staph aureus infections with simple derivatives of penicillin, Keflex, Duracef, I mean, very easy drugs. They no longer work. Part of that is because of overuse of antibiotics. Part of it is because bacteria are getting smarter.
All right, so overuse of antibiotics does what? The bacteria recognizes them and beats them?
Correct. So what happens is you get an antibiotic when you don't need it. So next time you go in to your doctor with a cold or bronchitis, just think about this. You get an antibiotic because you hound the doctor and say, I really need this. This is the only thing that works. And the doctor says, I have six people waiting. I am not going to take 40 minutes to explain this to you. So unfortunately, we overuse antibiotics.
Okay.
So the bacteria get exposed to these drugs multiple times. What happens with viruses on day three or day four, like the doctor told you, you would be better. So what do? You stop taking the antibiotic. Now, any bacteria that were in your system that you killed off the weak ones, the strong ones are there to multiply. So we self-select the resistant bacteria by not completing our courses of antibiotics.
what do we need to fix this problem? Do we need better education? Do we need doctors to take the time to not prescribe? What do we need?
Yeah, well, we need both of those. We need better education in patients to realize that antibiotics are not the cure-all. We need to understand that colds are going to take you 7 days sometimes to go away, but they're going to go away, and just leave it alone right now and don't worry about taking the antibiotics. Unfortunately, we also now need a lot of new drugs in the antibiotic pipeline, which are not there because drug companies are businesses. They're looking for the drug that someone's going to take every day, like blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, diabetes medicine. They're not looking for the drug that someone's going to take for 3 days or 5 days.
So we don't have the drug companies developing new strains, and I would assume these strains aren't that easy to develop. They take time, right?
Correct. Absolutely. They take time, and they take new science.
What sort of problem are we creating down the road? Doomsday this for me. How bad can it be?
Well, it can be fairly bad. I mean, in hospitals right now, if you ever visit someone in the hospital and you watch the healthcare workers, you know, they're washing their hands before they go in the room. They're washing their hands in front of the patient. They're washing their hands before they leave because some of these super infections end up in hospitals, and we want to take care of them and treat them as much as we can here. Unfortunately, MRSA used to be just in hospitals. Now it's everywhere. We get a skin infection in the office, chances are it's going to be MRSA, which 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we never would have thought that. We don't even use the same antibiotics now that we used 10 years ago on skin infections.
See, this is why we all need to learn how to wash our hands better, amongst other things. Here's what I want to do, Doc. Let's break for traffic. We come back. Andrea, will you be our scientific study person here?
Yeah. So, let's see. I have lavender Purell.
No. This is why you're perfect for this.
Okay.
I want you to take your phone.
Yes.
Go into the restroom.
Okay.
Call the hotline and have Doc talk you through washing your hands.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, a little washing your hands clinic.
Absolutely.
Live on the air.
I'll do it.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. You know, Doc, we just hope that people listen to get something out of this show. The educational moments pop up at various times every morning, and I think this is one of them. You can help us learn how to wash our hands now.
I can.
All right, so you're going to lock that line in before I can pop Andrea on here. Let me know when you're ready. You know how to lock the phone in? How long have you been a producer here? Let me know when we're locked. Are we locked?
God, I hope you're not talking to me.
What are you saying to me? Hold on a second. I'm trying to figure out how to not hang up on you. All right, here we go. Andrea Darles joins us now from the bathroom. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
How are things in the restroom?
You know, the bathroom needs a little cleaning, I have to say. Must be the weekend people here.
All right, so Doc, take us through this. What does she need to do to properly wash her hands?
All right. I'm going to put you guys on speaker so I can do this. Okay?
All right, okay.
Right. So, Andrea, wash your hands like you normally would.
Okay. And tell us what you're doing.
Yep.
Okay, I'm putting on the equal amounts of hot water and cold water.
Okay.
And now I'm rinsing my hands off. Now I'm getting some soap from the hand-free dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
Washing my hands. I think doing a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it under the water, and I'm done.
Okay. So now, Doc, where did she screw up?
So if you just listen to what she said there.
Yeah, huh?
And I don't know about you guys, but I was timing it because that's part of the issue here.
Yeah.
People wash your hands for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Andrea washed your hands for 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
20 seconds. Now.
20 seconds? I don't have that kind of time. 20 seconds is going to keep me healthy?
The other thing that's interesting is industries have made a big business out of this, right? We have germaphobes. She said she turned the handles on. There's a lot of places where people say, I'm not touching those handles. So they use their elbow, or now, you know, you wave your hand underneath to turn those on.
I actually have someone who travels with me to turn the faucets on.
Perfect.
All right. Andrea, what?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Andrea, now Doc's going to walk you through how you should do it.
Right.
All right. How I should do it. Okay.
Yep. Hot water more than cold water.
I'm ready.
All right. Hot water more than cold.
Okay.
Get the soap on your hands. Count to 20 as you're rubbing your hands under the water. Reapply the soap one more time, and then rub your hands to clean them or to rinse them.
Do I do like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or do I do the 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi?
No. I'd be happy with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to be honest with you, because most people, it's 1, 2, 3.
All right, so you're soaping up, you're lathering up. And by the way, if you're just turning this on, it does sound filthy. We're talking about our hands here. You're lathering up and you're rinsing and repeating. More hot water than cold. How about do you have to go beyond your hands? Do you go up your arms? Do you go to the elbow?
Only if you're going into the operating room.
15, 20.
All right.
That seems like a long time, but studies have shown that people wash their hands anywhere from 3 to 5 seconds, and they really don't. It does not work. You need to do that. And a lot of people, when they wash their hands in public areas, they don't want to use the soap dispenser. They can't figure out how it is, so they just use water. So you figure it. You want soap and water for 20 seconds. Most people use water alone for 3 seconds.
So we would all be healthier if we heed this advice. Andrea, any other questions about washing and soaping?
Yeah, I have a problem. I can't get out of the bathroom because I don't want to touch the door that I just walked in.
Exactly. So that's a very interesting point. But one other point before, how did you dry your hands? With towels?
With a paper towel. Yeah, two paper towels.
So paper towels are actually fairly good. It's a more friction. It cleans the hands even better. Other people that use the air ones, the blowers, even the high-tech blowers, studies have shown that if you wash your hands for 3 seconds, you haven't taken any of the bacteria or viruses off your hand. Now you go to the blower, all you've done is push that material, push those bugs out into the air in some very great distances.
Oh, fantastic news.
Yep.
So you get like that.
Now I'm stuck in the bathroom with them.
All right, so Mary, could you go rescue Andrea because she doesn't want to touch the germy handle?
Well, that's it. A lot of people grab an extra towel to use that to open the door. I strongly recommend that, or push it open with your arm, you know, because insides of bathrooms are filthy.
That's why I have someone that I hired to walk around with me and touch door handles.
Yep.
So if she locked the door from the inside, she's going to be locked in, right?
So you
can't get it.
Are you advocating we leave her there?
I don't know. This isn't good. She doesn't want to be in that bathroom.
Hand washing in flu and cold season will decrease your chances of getting ill. That's all Doc's trying to tell you. So
absolutely. Most people are going to get a couple of colds a year, and it's usually going to be anywhere from August till about now. And for those times, washing your hands is very important because influenza is around. A lot of viruses are around because we stay in. We're in tight quarters with each other. We spread these things around. So that's the most important time to wash your hands regularly.
Last question, hand sanitizers. Andrea goes through 3 bottles of it a day.
I do.
Is it something that we use too much?
I personally think we do. Again, you can have resistance from bacteria from hand sanitizers. That's one of the biggest concerns that the CDC has. These are, the vast majority of them that really work well, have high contents of alcohol, and the alcohol denatures the proteins in the bacteria and causes them to die. If we ever get to a point where they figured out how to be resistant to alcohol, we would be in a little bit of a problem.
Is organic ethanol alcohol?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. Andrea's has 119%. I think she's drinking it.
No, I'm not. Yeah, it's lavender flavor, lavender smell.
Yeah, the smell is one thing. So look at the content. It's probably somewhere
62.
Between 62% and 95% alcohol. The other thing is if people really want to use them a lot, get one that has a lotion in it as well, because alcohol is very irritating to the hand. It dries out your hand. So if you're going to use a lot of it, try to find one with a lotion that's going to have a moisturizer in it as well, or your hands eventually are just going to be bloody.
All right. So don't ask for antibiotics every 10 minutes. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. 10 seconds, hot water more than cold. Rinse and repeat.
And stay away from the hand dryers if you can. Use towels.
This has been hugely helpful for me.
Doc will tell us how to shower. Thank you, buddy.
I'm not volunteering for
that.
You
got it. Talk to you soon.
I was trying to get that done. Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. That's Dr. Kevin Most. Martin Kilcoyne, Big Shot TV and radio star from St. Louis, will tell you whether St. Louis Blues fans are ready to jump off the arch. We'll talk to him in 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We win as a team and lose as a team, so don't go there. You know, we got game 7 at home. It's the best case scenario we could have hoped for. We had a dream for getting this matchup and getting home ice advantage.
We wanted to get ourselves in a spot, in an awful spot a little while ago, and then we put ourselves exactly where we want to be. So we got momentum. We got to be excited about this challenge and put ourselves in a tremendous spot, have fun with it, just play the way we did the last couple of games. We keep getting better, and that's what we're looking for.
Coach Kim at 9:10 this morning. It was also Coach Ken Hitchcock, who couldn't be less convincing. We got him right where we want him. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Best case scenario.
Best case scenario, you lose two when you have a chance to close it out.
The best case scenario, you win game five.
What are you talking about? The legendary Martin Kilcoyne is on Fox 2 in St. Louis and KTRS Radio every morning. And joins us now. I had a chance to connect with Martin at the game on Saturday, and then my phone died, and I didn't go see him. It's a good friend I am, huh? Yeah, Mr. Kilcoyne.
That's the oldest trick in the book, Steve. The oldest trick in the book.
Well,
my
sorry.
Phone died.
I'm sorry I missed you, but based on how the second period went, I figured you didn't want to talk to anyone during intermission anyway.
Nice to know that the Blues' playoff chances aren't the only thing that died that night. Steve's phone. Steve's phone also died. And if I hear that Chelsea Handler theme song one more time.
It's not Chelsea Handler. It's Chelsea Dagger.
Oh, yeah, that too.
All right, so awful. What shape are the St. Louis Blues fans in this morning?
Well, according to the coach, this is the best-case scenario.
What
is
he
good,
talking
right?
about?
I'll tell you what, Steve. You and I have been talking for years now about the psyche of the Blues fan, and I told you they assume bad things happen. They've had goalies run over in the crease and knocked out of the playoffs. We've had defensemen throw a puck into the net. They've seen everything bad happen. There's just sort of a built-in psyche that it's just going to be a disaster. So I would say confidence is low. I think they'll go tonight and say, "What the heck? We're going to lose, but let's have some fun." I really think that's the mindset of almost every fan. There is nobody out there that's Stuart Smalley saying, "Oh, we'll do this. We got this." I think almost everybody is negative.
Well, I guess the pessimism has been earned, but Dave, you got to believe, don't you?
Well, I would think. Martin, are you surprised that they weren't able, especially after they played well in the previous two games at the United Center? They played well in the first period on Saturday
great
night.
In the
yeah,
first
I mean,
period.
Are you surprised that it's like all of a sudden? I realize a lot of it has to do with the Blackhawks, but a lot of this has to do with the Blues.
Yeah, and I think the bigger, I don't know if it's concern or just disappointment, is that, you know, you're in this position. If you had said going into it, it's going to go seven. Everybody thought, well, these two teams are so evenly matched. Look at every game this year. It's either overtime or a shootout or a one-goal game. The fact that it goes seven is not a shocker. I think being up 3-1 and you end up in a game seven is the disappointment, and the fact that you led 3-1 the other night. But you look at it and you say, well, who beat you? Well, you know, Ladd scored. Okay, well, all right. Van Riemsdyk scored. Okay, we scored. You're looking at it again and saying, boy, you know, Taves and Kane didn't kill you.
Nope.
And you've done a great job on them, and still you cannot eliminate this team. The Hawks just keep coming back. So, listen, if you said at the beginning we're going seven, I think everybody would have said, that's fine. One game, winner take all. It's a lot of fun. In our home building, we'll take that. But the way they've gotten here, and I think that's where the confidence in that room may be a little shaky. And players after the game, nobody called out the coach directly. He's not terribly popular with the players, and that doesn't totally matter. But there was a theme in their answers that said, we let them off the hook, we changed our play, that second period, we took our foot off the gas. There was no doubt in my mind they were trying to say that the coach's approach was to kind of hold the lead. And if there's any team you wouldn't do that against, it's Chicago.
And the difference is how you hold the lead, right? Because the Hawks are up 4-3, they get a late penalty, and they go into what amounts to a Dean Smith four-corner box and one on a penalty kill, so the Blues can't change and get off the ice. They have tired legs. They wait for the moment. Shaw scores the killer.
Yeah, I think there were so many things.
Oh, that's right. You were there. I just wanted you to relive it.
Thanks, Steve. Hey, here, we should have met up. This, as you said, is an earned negativity or caution. But they keep coming back. For every year, the building's filled. They have the most loyal fan base. They fill it up every year.
Yep.
They have a great team every year. They just can't get over the hump in the playoffs. I mean, in 2000, Coach Q was here. They won the President's Trophy. They were the top seed, and they used to do 1-8, and they lost to the San Jose Sharks on a fluke goal in a game seven at home. So there's always something in the back of your mind, whether you're a 20-year-old fan or an 80-year-old fan. You've seen it all at this point.
And they deserve to win. They are. It's a great fan base. I mean, it really is. Incredibly loyal, and it's a good building for hockey, too. I mean, other than that, I hope you enjoy golf. As you go into Game 7 tonight, can you explain the little dust-up on the bench over the power play minutes?
Well, I think, you know, Tarasenko is as mild, as great a player as he is. He's extremely mild-mannered in his dealings. And, you know, he doesn't talk a lot. His English is better than my Russian, so we don't hear a ton from him. But that caught people's attention because it's him, and he's not real feisty. But Coach Hitchcock played it down on Sunday and said he's a competitive guy. If he's mad at me, that's okay. I want him to be. There's a lot of discussion about his ice time. I mean, as good as he is, you would think he's going to be on the ice more than anybody. But he's typically not out there on the penalty kill. So there are variables to that. But this coach came back last year after they tried to hire Mike Babcock. So everybody knew they were looking to replace him a year ago. And it was sort of known he came in on a one-year deal, as a one-year contract, that either this is going to work this year or he's done. So there's always been this kind of built-in, I don't know if it's tension, that's probably too high. But the player, he reminds me of Tony La Russa because he's in control, he's going to do it his way, and it rankles some players. On the whole, it works. They win a lot of games, but it's not always popular.
Well, you know, and this is the same deal out in Anaheim, right? The guy can't win. The guy can't get beyond the Blackhawks. But it's the Blackhawks. I don't know that you throw the coach out because you can't beat the Blackhawks. I don't know if you noticed. They've been pretty good for a while.
Yeah, the problem around here, I think the biggest problem was last year. They lost to the Minnesota Wild in the same fashion. They went up 2-0 and then lost the next 4. Because prior to that, you get beat by the Kings, they go on to win the Cup, you can justify it. You get beat by the Hawks, well, they're one of the best teams around. Losing to Minnesota last year sticks out. So at some point, and even Paul Stastny said yesterday, at some point, history has to change. And everybody in St. Louis kind of said, well, no, it doesn't. I mean, the Cubs probably have been saying that for years, you know. Well, we'll win at some point, and it hasn't happened yet. So I think the Blues fans, until it happens, they're just going to be, well, let's say, cautiously optimistic. And if this does, we'll hire Theo. If we lose tonight, it's time to go get Theo.
Theo to rebuild the Blues. All right, so last word from you, Martin Kilcoyne. The Blues win tonight or lose?
What do they say? You put it out there. I put it in the universe. Yeah. I'll say they win in overtime. Let's just say they win in overtime. And Tarasenko will get the goal, and he goes over and hugs the coach after he's done.
I've never heard anyone believe anything less than you when you said those words. Could well happen.
I've got 12 hours to convince myself that this is true, that this is going to happen.
Fox 2 in St. Louis and KTRS Radio. It's my friend Martin Kilcoyne. Nice job, buddy.
Good talk to you, pal. Well,
thanks.
Maybe I'll call you tomorrow and rub it in.
Okay, good. You know what? Here's my promise. The Blues win tonight, you're on tomorrow. The Blues lose tonight, I'll heckle you with phone calls until dawn.
All right, if the Hawks win tonight, I'll call Friday and make fun of the Bears draft pick and ask, why did they take a guy who's injured?
That seems right. Tributes continue to pour in from around the world for Prince. I wrote a podcast. Waiting to perform it live. I wrote a blog about this last night, but I wrote it like at 10 o'clock last night, and I don't know if it made any sense. I got to go reread it before we post it. Sandberg, did you proofread that? Did it make sense? Is it up? Is it going to be up? What's the status of that thing?
Posted.
Oh, kill that song first so I can hear. Can you kill Mike? Can you kill Prince? Because I can't hear Mary. There we go. Now, Mary, talk to me.
Sorry, I said it makes about as much sense as you usually make. So.
Okay, good. Then that's a positive.
And it's posted.
Thing. Okay, cool. So that's up at WGNradio.com and wherever your blogs are. All right, so I want to play for you a couple of things from the weekend. Springsteen had a concert Saturday night in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's probably expected Springsteen. If you've never been to a Springsteen concert, it's the greatest, even if you don't like Springsteen music. It's one of the greatest things you're ever going to see because he's an unbelievable performer.
Oh, yeah. Hours he plays.
Now, he talks a lot.
Yes.
He talks a lot between songs, and you got to kind of, you know, get used to that. You will. But everybody thought he'd say something about Prince, but very few people thought he'd do this. Highly worth skipping a little work today so you can see this. It's Bruce Springsteen doing Purple Rain. And the thing is, it's not a hard song to play.
No.
It's a hard song to sing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because Prince had quite a range on him, the little fella.
He sure did. I was listening all weekend to his music.
And yeah, SiriusXM did a nice thing. They dedicated a whole channel to him. So, Jimmy, Saturday Night Live, oddly enough, Saturday night, Jimmy Fallon was on, and Fallon kind of stumbled through a tribute to him. But here's a chunk of that.
Tonight we wanted to pay tribute to him by looking back at his performances on the show over the years and by remembering what he meant to us. It was a lot. Other people may have been on the show more times or performed more frequently, but there was always something different about a Prince performance. It was special. It was an event. It was Prince. Times have changed. Styles have come and gone. But no matter what, Prince has never not been cool.
And I think this was his last musical performance on Saturday Night Live. It was a Chris Rock-hosted show. I don't know if you remember, but these clouds appear from the background, and it's all clouds, and then suddenly it drops down, and you see the three shot of the band, and Prince is wearing triple spectacles.
Yes.
He had the two, he had the spectacles on the sunglasses, but then there's a third lens in the middle of his forehead. Uh-huh. You go, that guy is so weird.
Yeah.
And yet he makes it all cool. Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of that called Fury.
Prince! Stars born, sun to a shadow, rose to a thorn. There ain't no fury like a woman scorned.
But I think the coolest thing all weekend, and I did not know this was going to happen, was a high school choir doing a tribute to Prince. And I want to play a chunk of this for you as well. And I got to figure out where the high school was because it lost the story. Was it L.A.? This is a high school choir. This is a big choir. This is a high school choir paying tribute to Prince. Thousand students, 1,000 choir members. I'm going to start getting good here. It's the 27th annual High School Choir Festival at Disney in downtown LA. Seven:29 in the morning as we continue, and the Prince tributes will continue for, you know, a long time to come. He was cremated the other day, and the family had a private service. They do say there'll be a public ceremony, a public memorial in Minneapolis still being scheduled.
There has to be. Paisley Park is still the lines, they were saying, even through last night when people were coming to put balloons and tributes down. The lines were still wrapped around. You wouldn't understand because you've been there. But
they're talking about making it a museum.
That would be really, they should. Don't you think?
Yeah, it would be cool. There's plenty of things you could do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't
know. His instruments, his clothes, just everything.
I got to believe he didn't have a will. He's 57 and he was Prince.
I think you're right.
You know?
I think you're right.
I lost a really good friend a few years ago, very young, in his 60s. Didn't have a will and hadn't gotten around to getting life insurance. There's a couple things you got to get done. You got to get those done, people. It's 7:30, just past 7:30. We'll come back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Panarin has drubbed into him. He fed it across. Oh, and a save by Elliott. Primo scores! And beats him off. Ponick able to twist with it. Fed one across. Leonard in front. His stick falls out of his hand. He tries to get it. It's knocked away. And a quick shot. He's in. Under the crossbar. What a shot by Dale Lee. Back along the cane behind. the outside. Got it to him. Score!
Yeah, we're happy. In case you were wondering. 7:43 now. That's Doc Emmerich. Doc will join us in just a second. Talk about calling that game last night. Doc's seen a lot of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's seen Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hockey like he saw Saturday night.
I don't know. Can I make a quick correction before Doc comes on? Okay, there is no Lansing, Indiana. There's Lansing, Illinois, and Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, it's all right. Okay. We still like you.
There's an Illinois and a Michigan. You I wasn't sure if there was an Indiana, so I looked it up, and there's not.
You let this stuff bother you, don't you?
No.
See, my belief is when I make a mistake, and it only happens every few minutes.
No, but it was a mistake.
Is you just lied. No, it was a mistake.
No, I just said I had to check and see if there was a Lansing,
wrong.
Indiana.
But what I like to do is just glide by and let them just act like they never happened.
I just want to correct that. Yeah, throw okay. that out there.
All right. Well, I salute you.
Thank you.
Coming up, a couple of updates on stories that have been lingering for a while. But in the meantime, let's just celebrate some more hockey, shall we? As I said, Doc Emmerich, our friend Doc Emmerich. Doc, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. A little confused.
About?
So Dave's reading commercials.
Yep.
Andrea's doing play-by-play on hand-washing.
Yep.
And your role has been multitasking. So are you just passing all of the responsibilities around this morning? The play-by-play, by the way, was really good. But I can't imagine how anybody at Wrigley in the seventh inning is going to spend 20 seconds.
You know, can you imagine the 20 seconds in that bathroom? You just go in, get it done, and get out. I mean, come on. Hey, I was going to come up and see you Saturday night, but things got so crazy in that second period. Of all the hockey you have seen, how does a team look that bad in the first, as the Hawks did after that first goal, get that good in the second?
Yeah, that's why we, you know, a lot of times during the course of a broadcast, we'll say, don't go away, because the coaches have 17 minutes to talk about all of this. And both of these coaches, you know, I know there's been a lot said about Hitchcock, and I was listening earlier this morning too.
Uh-huh.
But both of these Thank coaches you. Have the ability to make adjustments during those intermissions, and I fully expected a different Hawks team. I didn't know it was going to be that different, but it sure was. And that's one of Joel's real strengths, is adjustments. And the Ponick move was tremendous. This guy does have credentials dating back to the American League of putting on performances like that. I was glad they made him the number one star, because sometimes they go strictly off the score sheet, and other times they don't. But this guy was the standout player in that game.
Well, I'm glad you
said him the number one star.
I'm glad you said that, because as you looked around the United Center, for those who didn't decide it was time to go get their cars, when the number one star was announced, everybody went, what? But this is the classification. These are important minutes. He played important minutes. He was an impact player. Hossa, both ends of the ice all the time. He's played that way his whole career. But explain to fans why Ponick was the number one star.
Because he made an impact from his physical play. He made an impact as a playmaker on two of the goals. And they were goals that made a difference in the outcome of the game, because they were getting the team back. And, you know, he had, on the Van Riemsdyk goal, he was the one that gave it to Taves. And then Taves made the brilliant pass across to Van Riemsdyk. But he threw a couple of hits earlier. And, you know, Andrew Shaw started on that line. And I asked Joel the morning of the game, I said, what do you expect from Andrew tonight? You're playing him with Taves and Kane. He said, I expect him to go to the net. Well, he did, but it wasn't having any kind of an effect. And a lot of times, and Eddie Olczyk will always say this, the one thing that you can do if your team's not responding is make a change in the lines. So he dropped Andrew down, he brought Ponick up, and all of a sudden things started to come to life. And I'll give credit to the, you know, there are times that maybe you're trying to have a conversation inside United Center and it gets pretty loud and there's something on the Jumbotron. There was one point during a stoppage of play when they encouraged the fans to get loud, and they did. And the play got better, and then a goal was scored. And they didn't have to encourage the fans the rest
right,
of the night.
Right, sometimes
that helps. And in that case, it did.
And the third period was kind of a story unto itself as well. More with Doc Emmerich. $7.50, we go back to Michael Dr. Emmerich. Good morning, Doc, and let's continue with the third period shenanigans that went on, because they came out in the third, and the Hawks did something I haven't seen in a long time, if ever. that little box plus box and one Dean Smith stall on the power play late in the game. That's more genius.
Yeah, it is, and it's not something that I've seen that often because you don't look for it. But boy, did it ever happen! And they got some contributions too from some guys that really hadn't had a lot of opportunity to contribute, like Dale Weiss. I mean, that was a brilliant goal right under the crossbar, and then Shaw scored again. It was a brilliant power play goal, and it was fun to watch them set up and see what they wanted to do and try to do on the power play and then achieve it. And, you know, we don't cheer for either side, but by the same token, we like to see excellence, and that certainly was. And they won it going away. It was a tight game, and it was an exciting game, but then as it turned out, the scoreboard made it look like a blowout. It wasn't, but it made it look that way. And everybody that we saw leaving the arena was happy. We don't know what we're going to see tonight, and that's the fun part about Game 7s. This, I think, NBC asked me to figure them up. I think this is number 36 for me.
Is that right?
And they're never dull. Yeah, and you can never predict what's going to happen. Because Jonathan Toews has been tremendous in Game 7s for the Blackhawks.
Right.
But some of the heroes of these games have included Braden Coburn, who is not a very well-known defenseman for Tampa. Scott Walker, who was a fourth-line winger for Carolina, 1-1 in overtime. You don't know where the hero is going to come from, and that's part of the excitement of getting ready for a Game 7 and going to practice and talking to guys and finding out what their thoughts are about a Game 7. Because when you were a kid and you were playing outside and the dinner bell was sounded and your mom said, come in, the last thing you did was have one more showdown, and you were the announcer and the stick handler, and you always said Stanley Cup playoff Game 7.
Right, exactly
and
right.
And this is the magic of childhood, and you get a chance to actually play it out. And for the Hawks, it's nothing new because they've been in so many of these, as Dave was documenting this morning in the sportscast. But it never gets old. It doesn't for me, and I'm sure it doesn't for the players. And life is good.
It's really good. And you always talk about how blessed you are to have such a great seat for these games, but we're blessed to be able to hear you as well. Doc will do it on NBC Sportsnet tonight. Comcast, I think, has the call locally. Is that right, Dave Ennett?
I believe they
sure
do.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they do.
And Dave Ennett.
I was born in Indiana. What's this town in Indiana you don't like?
I'll call you
maybe
off the
we
air.
We should go into that another time. Yeah. Andrea was curious, too.
I was.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll find. Maybe that'll be for another edition. I would love to hear what that is. Maybe I can scour some of my friends in the police department back there.
I can't say that I was completely faultless in the incident, but I'll get back to you on that. let me go to Dave Ennett live for Doc Emrick.
Doc, if I'd said that through six games, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews would have one goal between them, and yet they would be playing Game 7, would you have been shocked?
I guess, but you know, Kaner's playmaking has been so spectacular in recent years that I wouldn't have been in that regard, because, you know, we always expect him to score big goals at key times like these overtime winners and so forth, but the other side of things is that he oftentimes has more assists than he has goals anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that anyone with short memories about the Blackhawks will always remember some very key moments in Jonathan Toews' careers that have occurred in Game 7s. You can remember a game in Vancouver, for example, another one last year in Anaheim, and how big he's made plays at that time and how well he's led. So that's another of the X factors coming into all of this tonight. And then they drop a puck, and all of these things that I'm talking about become useless meringue and can be just blown away by some unusual thing that happens on the first shift. But it's fun to talk about, and that's what we've got to work with until, what, about 8 o'clock tonight?
One of the things that makes Doc so great is his ability to make every game sound special. But do you get bigger butterflies on a Game 7?
Yeah. Yeah, last night I would love to tell you that I had 8 hours of sleep, but you get excited about these things, and it's wonderful to see all of this talent out there, and it means so much to both teams, not just because they're professionals. You know, at this time of year, it's not about the cash, because there really isn't much, and nobody talks about it. The players don't talk about it. They're playing for a ring that's too big to wear and their name on a trophy they don't get to keep. Yeah. They've been paid for their year. But if you win the whole thing, you know, the winner's share is about $100,000. You divide that by 25 games, you're getting about $4,000 a game. Nobody talks about it because it's meaningless. What it's about is competing for this championship, playing extra time, two overtimes, three overtimes, getting a day's rest, coming back, doing the same thing, and then maybe you get through the first round and you get to do it three more times if you're like the Hawks, three of the last 6 years. And you talk to guys that are bedraggled and everything else, and they say, how do you keep standing through this? And Brent Seabrook told me last spring, it's fun.
Right.
And there it is. That's why this is such a joy to watch, because these guys are just competing because it's fun. They're paid, sure, but they've been paid. I'll never forget. Do you have time for one quick story?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 1979, the New York Rangers are playing the Montreal Canadiens, and John Davidson, who is now the president of Columbus Blue Jackets, was their goaltender, the Rangers' goaltender. They win the first game in Montreal. They lose the next four. Canadiens win the championship. And John's back home in New York, and the Rangers are highly celebrated because this is about as close as they've gotten to a championship. And about 2 weeks later, John goes to his front door and takes the mail out of the box and the magazines and everything else. And there's a letter that says National Hockey League, New York City. He opens it up, and there's a check in there. And he said, I forgot we got paid.
How about that?
Wow. That was his loser's share.
How about that?
Losing the Stanley Cup. He said, I forgot we got paid.
Well, and I'm such a sap.
The joy of all of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm such a sap. I still get choked up when I see the handshake line because I think it's the best thing in sports.
Yeah, it is. And it is genuine. We followed the handshake line 2 years ago because Brent Seabrook had really laid a hit on David Backes. And so when that ended, we followed the handshake line, and it was a genuine handshake and a stop and a conversation between the two guys. And it was like, hey, that's our sport, and it's over.
Right.
Amazing.
And it's terrific.
Yeah, I just wondered, like, let's say you work for, I don't know, an accounting firm today. If you go into work today and you have a dispute over something that happened at work and you punch your colleague in the face, I don't think at 5 o'clock you're going to go, hey, I'll see you tomorrow, Bill. You'll be in HR all afternoon.
No, you're right. It's one of the many things that's so much fun about this sport is the contrasts that are built into it and the traditions, too. And on the way in from the airport, we're riding with a woman who had been a limousine driver for probably 20, 25 years. And we got to talking about athletes from various sports, and she talked so much about not only driving the Blues around, but the genuine nature of these hockey players and how David Backes is so active in the community. He and his teammates will drive around into areas rescuing stray dogs. They'll find them on the street. They'll rescue them. They'll get them nursed back to health and try to find homes for them. He said, usually athletes are, you know, very well paid and they have their own lives. But he said the Blues have been very big about giving back to community. And you see this an awful lot in Chicago with the Hawks, too. And it's a fun group of people to be around, and I've been lucky to do this for 43 years. And I think some of it's amateur sociology on my part, but I think it's the fact that our sport originally was Canadian, almost exclusively that. And Bobby Hall may be listening this morning, but he was a part of it. And these guys came to town. They put down roots here because this was their sport. This was their town. And they're still here. And that all made a part of how they were loved in communities because they stayed around. They weren't carpetbaggers. They came here and they put down roots.
It's Doc Emmerich. Nobody better. Tonight, he'll have the call on NBC Sportsnet, the local call on Comcast. Get both screens going. You can pop back and forth and see where Doc's puck is skeetering tonight. You're the best, man. I appreciate all your time and appreciate you listening. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you so much. And I'll make sure it's 20 seconds. I always heard it was you had to sing happy birthday to you all the way through while you washed your hands. But 20 seconds. Andrea, you're the best. I didn't know that it took that long.
I love you, Deck. Thank you. I didn't either.
Washing.
And I thought I was going to be stuck in the bathroom, too. So.
We're saving lives.
That's right.
Doc Most saving Doc Emmerich's life. How about that?
Steve, it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. That's Doc Emmerich. You'll have the call tonight. Comcast Sportsnet as well. And, of course, here's the best. you know, the thing to do. You listen to Weidemann and Troy, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you got Doc going on the TV. So you got the buds in. You get the earbuds in or the headphones. You got Weidemann and Troy going, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. On your phone or on your iPad or whatever. And then occasionally you just, you know, you pull one out, you multitask. You got a little Doc going here. You got a little Weidemann going here. It's the best.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Say 15. I'm just looking at Dean sends me notes every morning. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning.
Dean sends me notes every morning. And it's funny because there can be, and this will all be in the book, there could be like behind the scenes stuff that only we know, right? That's appropriate or not appropriate for air. But this is one of those, how long have you known me? Do you think I'd throw you under the bus like this? Of course I would not.
No, I'm just saying.
Obviously, it's a little tense over there at Channel 9 this morning, huh?
No.
Okay. You all right, by the way?
I just don't know anything about a particular subject. that if you were to ask me, I wouldn't really have anything to say about it.
Yes, yes. That's, by the way, this entire segment of the show will be revealed in the cable version that we do later in the day. So I got a Prince update coming up. Beyonce's new album coming up.
What?
These are all things you're going to tell us about.
Oh, I wrote those.
Weekend box office and...
So wait, let me see. Those are things I do know things about?
Yes, these are things you're willing to publicly comment on. And Billy Paul. Billy Paul died. You know what Billy Paul sang? Well, you're going to find out. One of the great songs of all time. It's also a great fight starter. It's 8:16. We'll come back with Dean in a second. But first, here's Mary.
Accident inbound Stevenson at Harlem. Right lane is blocked. It's about an hour in from the tri-state. That accident inbound Bishop Ford at Stony Island has been cleared. Inbound Kennedy an hour 25 from O'Hare. Hour 5 in the Locals Express at 55 minutes. Outbound to the airport 46. Outbound Eaton's 35 to Lake Cook. Inbound Eisenhower an hour 15 from 5350 for Mannheim. The inbound Ryan 25 from 95th. And also Lakeshore Drive's a mess traveling north 31st to Balbo. And Balbo is blocked off westbound. Columbus to Lakeshore Drive. Keep in mind the closures through Grant Park because of the NFL draft. Traffic sponsored by Panera Bread. Get Mom a Panera Bread gift card. You'll get a gift, too. For every $50 in gift card purchase, you get a $10 bonus card for yourself. Visit your local Panera for terms and restrictions. Mary Vandeville, WTN Traffic
Central. I'm going to ask the Blackhawks. You know, Ross brought this up to me at the game the other day. Why has Panera Bread not sponsored the bread man, Panarin?
That's a great question. It'd be an easy spot.
I mean, the Hawks must have asked, right? They must have said no.
I think it's been talked about.
And he's been there for tea. Remember?
Yeah, you did go there for tea.
You said, have you been there? And he said, well, I've had tea there.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't Panera want in on that?
The tea at Panera is probably fantastic.
Panera, call the Blackhawks. They'd like to talk to you about this. Don't they? Right?
There was something where he was posing in a Panera for, there was a picture.
It's a social media thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was outside of Panera. Right.
Holding a bread, piece of bread. And we should get a cut for suggesting it.
Yeah. Now watch, this is something the Hawks have already discussed. They didn't want to discuss anymore.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel
8:23 now, back to Dean, live from Channel 9.
I have breaking news.
What do you have?
A second Guns N' Roses show has just been added.
Whew, that is exciting.
That's pretty good. You can sell out Soldier Field July 1st. So now they have added, wait a minute, I just had it here a second ago. They've added
second show was just canceled seconds ago.
Second show not canceled, July 3rd. Is when it'll be. Because, you know, it's never very busy around the 4th of July downtown at all.
No, that should help with the traffic.
July 3rd will be the second show. A pre-sale for that show will be this coming Thursday at 10 a.m. But you have to have a secret code in order to get the pre-sale.
Will you give out your secret code?
I'm going to give out the secret code right now.
Okay.
It's GNR, like Guns N Roses.
I see what they did there.
GNR 2016. Yeah. So if you go to Ticketmaster, put in the secret code GNR2016, you'll be able to buy tickets for the second show At Soldier Field.
All right, I'm confused. I'm confused because Axl Rose decided a week ago to take time away from his lab work where he's breaking down DNA in the basement.
Yeah. Right.
And it was going to be the new lead singer for AC/DC.
AC/DC, but he'll be done with that in time for the Guns N' Roses tour.
Oh.
So it's well, Axl then. And Slash and the whole gang, right?
That's great.
Slash, Boom, Bang, all
Duff.
I just couldn't care less. I just have no interest in Guns N' Roses.
I would go. I wouldn't buy tickets, but I'd go.
I kind of like AC/DC.
It would be fun.
There's a little guy in the shorts that hops around.
Angus Young.
Yeah. That guy's funny.
You like him because it's like going to the circus.
I don't know why I know his name either. That's kind of
like when he throws a bucket of confetti on the audience.
I always yell out during an AC/DC concert, where are the elephants? Bring out the elephants and the clowns. It's 8:25. Billy Paul died. Should we tell him who Billy Paul is?
Yeah.
Sing.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I can do one better than that. Hang on a second.
Well, I think we have it, too. You want us to play it or do you want to play it?
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Direct from a Soul Train performance in 1972.
I saw that show.
Did you see his purple velvet suit?
Yep, bought one for myself. I was 10.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Yeah, it was a good look at 10.
That's a good look. Billy Paul, 81 years old.
81?
81 years old.
Wow.
Mr. Jones is under suspicion for the death.
Well, it's about time he caught him. Me and Mrs. 81. Me and Mrs. Jones going to get soup.
Been bragging this whole time. Me and Mrs. Jones this, me and Mrs. Jones that.
I bet they weren't meeting at the same cafe. They were meeting at the Social Security office.
They were meeting at the same cafe. It wasn't hard to find him.
Beyonce's got a new album out?
Yes. She dropped a new album over the weekend.
I thought you could only drop albums on Tuesdays.
No, she did it very late on Saturday night. HBO had a documentary on Beyonce about the making of her music, and then immediately following the documentary,
they dropped the album.
She drops the album.
Well, here's the thing. I've been waiting for Beyonce to release an album with a title reminiscent of a cool, refreshing summertime drink.
You are completely in luck with this.
What?
Because the new album is called... Iced Tea. It's Lemonade.
Yeah, Lemonade.
It's called Lemonade.
Lemonade.
We have a little clip of
Here's
it.
Here's a hook.
Found the truth beneath your lies, and true love never has to hide.
Shame she can't sing.
Catchy. I like her bouncy songs better.
I love Beyonce. I call her Bay.
Queen Bee.
Call her Bay.
Yeah, B-E-Y, Bay.
Steve doesn't have time for all the syllables in
right.
Name.
I don't have time to pronounce names fully. I'm very busy.
Greg Kot from the Tribune calls her new album the most accomplished and cohesive work yet.
You know what I wish she'd do more? I'm not kidding. I'm going to say this. I wish she'd do more acting. Do you remember how funny she was in Austin Powers?
She was hilarious.
How great she was?
Hilarious.
I mean, she didn't need to. She got all the money, all the talent.
I would like to see her pursue that also.
That'd be great.
I like her bouncy songs. I like
single ladies.
See Dean and Abreu walking in. Beyonce, drop the R&B. We need something more bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Not really interested in your social commentary. Where can we put a ring on now? Where can we put a ring now?
Who'll run the world now, Beyonce?
Dean's hoping for an album called Cheap Commercial Stuff.
Bay.
Right. in love too, Bay. Uh-oh.
Dean just back from Coachella.
That's funny all by itself. Me at Coachella.
Coachella, which is a word that means, why don't you just jump in a lake? Good God.
Take a bath, you hippies.
All right, and one more. You got a Prince update for me?
Coachella paying tribute to Prince over the weekend. Elton John at his concert in Las Vegas paying a big tribute to Elton John over the weekend. One of the coolest was...
Elton John played a tribute to Elton John?
To Prince.
Oh, okay.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah, it could be.
Very possible. I'm just back from Coachella, and I did eat some brownies that somebody offered me there. Bruce Springsteen...
Oh, this is good.
...playing a cut, playing his concert in Brooklyn, opens the show. We have a cut of this also.
Only wanna see you
Drive with your knees. Sway with me now. Come on. So there's a video that exists somewhere, Dean, at Paisley Park of Prince doing Purple Rain and me and a couple of other people standing behind him that he asked up on stage to sway.
Yeah.
I'm swaying in the wrong direction. The whole crowd's going right and I'm going left.
You are an anarchist that way.
Yeah.
You are an I'll tell you what, not a lot of people can do justice to the soulfulness.
How about
that?
Springsteen crushed it.
Springsteen,
as the kids
was
say.
Awesome, awesome, and was very heartfelt in his affection and admiration for Prince. Prince's body cremated over the weekend, a very private ceremony. The autopsy was completed on Friday. They say the results should be out in a few weeks. Thousands of people continuing to make pilgrimage to Minneapolis to pay their respects and to pay their tribute. Very much, you know, this is more and more reminding me of Elvis's death.
Yeah.
In the sense that fans are so emotionally moved by the loss of this performer, and they feel like they have to be near where he lived, near Paisley Park.
Well, that's why there's talk. There's talk of Paisley Park becoming, you know, sort of a better decorated version of the Elvis Mansion North, because if they turn it into a museum and they turn it into a shrine of sorts, it would make sense. I don't know if Prince's estate would ever agree to that, but it seems like it would make sense.
I was driving to work this morning. I saw somebody had crafted a neon light and put it in their front window of the Prince symbol.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was you know, surreal at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody put a billboard up of that Saturday on the tri-state. I was on Saturday or Friday. I don't know. I was on the way to O'Hare and I saw
people pretty moved by it all.
Yeah. Well, like old, the young, skyline, black, yeah, white, whatever. Everybody loved Prince.
Yep.
So, all right, Dean, good talking to you.
Have a wonderful
day. Why don't we do this tomorrow?
Okay. I'll send you a list.
Yeah, do that.
I'll send you a list of things I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, please do. Okay. It's 8:31. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, Anna got 720
pushy. WGN.
Right?
Easy, Anna. Do you think whenever one Greek's talking, another Greek has to talk? What is that about?
It's okay. It's Anna.
Rokon Anna DeVlantis this afternoon after 3. 8:41 now. You missing Trump this morning? I haven't talked about Trump all morning.
I know. It's been really weird. Really weird.
Remember when we were out in Iowa and Trump held the alternative campaign stop as opposed to the debate? He skipped the debate because Megyn Kelly was going to be there.
I remember that.
Remember he raised $6 million for veterans?
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't gotten it.
I know.
Yeah. Trump bragged in Iowa, 1 hour, $6 million. 20 organizations were supposed to get a chunk of that $6 million. A month later, the Trump campaign refused to reveal how much money it had donated at all. Those organizations contacted again last month and last week say they still haven't gotten the money. Various reports say that about half the money, about $3 million, has been donated to veterans charity. Some say $2.5 million, some say $3.5 million. The average seems to be about $3 million total, or half of the money raised. Now, here's how this normally works. Mm-hmm. You do a radiothon, a telethon. The money comes in when it comes in.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be slow. Like if you used to watch a Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
Yeah. Well, we've done them too for Washington, sure, for the tornado victims.
Yeah.
Sure.
It doesn't all happen in one check that day.
No.
However, when you make a federal case out of it that you want to be president and you're such a good guy, you're going to raise $6 million. I would think you'd be concerned enough about your reputation that you'd write the check if you had to,
yeah,
to cover it. Because these organizations, again, the military, and many organizations smart enough to say, look, I'm not going to be used by this guy. A lot of organizations refuse to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't get any money either. But how does that make them different than the ones that did? Half of the organizations have not received the remaining $3 million that's out there.
And they put out a release the next day that said, yeah, they raised $6 million, and it was supposed to be for 22 veterans charities. So that's quite a few. Only one, Liberty House, says that they got a check.
Yeah, and some of the other money that's been given out has been given out to organizations apparently that weren't even involved that night.
Yeah.
There's a state legislator, it could be a congressman from New Hampshire, who was asked to chair the Veterans Affairs stuff. And over the weekend, he was asked about it. He goes, yeah, it's not my number one priority.
Can you believe he said that? That was, well, New Hampshire state rep.
Well, good for you. Good for you. We'll get to Donald Trump's impressions in just a second. You know he's doing impressions?
I was not aware of
that. This is when he doesn't have to be really presidential. But here's a couple more things from the weekend. Trump told supporters at a rally in Maryland they shouldn't expect him to stay around if he loses the race. He said they'll fight like hell for 6 months. And if one of them loses, one of them wins. He said, look, if I lose, I'll congratulate my opponent. He said, but you won't see me. He said, if I lose, I don't think you're ever going to see me again, folks.
Is that a promise or a threat?
I think that's more reason than ever to get out there and vote for anyone but Trump. And then there's this. Trump said the 59-year-old then congressman approached Anthony of Opie and Anthony. I don't know if you ever heard of these guys. Oh, they were a big deal in New York for a long time. Anthony Cumia is his name. They split up. One of them still doing a show. I don't know. Never a fan. Anyway, Trump, you know, was big friends with Howard Stern, which is fine. I like Howard. But he was on the Opie and Anthony show in 2005, and he said Melania was pregnant, and they asked about changing diapers. He said there's a lot of women out there that demand that the husband act like the wife, and you know there's a lot of husbands that listen to that. So, you know, they go for it. He goes, if I had a different type of wife, I probably wouldn't have a baby, you know, because that's not my thing. I'm really a great father, but certain things you do and certain things you don't do, and that's not me. Changing diapers, you're acting like the wife.
Oh, God.
Hey, but that was 10 years ago.
Right.
And he can change.
You know,
change on a dime.
Here's the thing. That if you don't like, if some guys, nobody, I'm sure nobody really enjoys it. But that's all he has to say. Not a fan. Not a fan of changing the diapers. You don't have to go on and on and on and insult everybody.
Yeah, look, I love my kids more than life. I love that little granddaughter.
Right.
I wouldn't look forward to changing diapers. I didn't then. I wouldn't do it now. But it's not like I'd go, I'm not doing it.
And say, well,
it's idiotic. Dave, did you enjoy changing diapers?
Did I enjoy them?
Yeah.
No. There's a little time to bond with my kids, I guess.
I thought there was bonding the rest of the day.
Yeah, I preferred
that. Listen, I did it a lot. I didn't do, you know, but I didn't go, oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. I mean, right. It wasn't like that, but I never went, oh, that's girls'
can't wait
work.
To change one.
Yeah, but I never also went, that's women's work.
Oh,
are
no.
You kidding
no,
me?
No, you can't do that.
Trump, by the way, is doing impressions. What do you want to hear, his impression of Hillary or his impression of Indians?
Oh,
Hillary?
Geez.
You want to hear Hillary?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's Trump doing crooked Hillary at another rally.
Presidential. First of all, I'd have a teleprompter. You ever see crooked Hillary Clinton? She walks in. Good afternoon, President. How are you? This is crooked Hillary Clinton.
He's killing it. He's killing it. Remember Fred Travellina and Rich Little and those guys?
Right.
I can't wait for Trump to turn around, muss up his hair even more, and go, I was at a party. You wouldn't believe who was there. And then he does Crooked Hillary and Lion Ted. Now, what's this Indian impression? He's doing an impersonation of an Indian person? Oh, this should be good. Roll it.
I said to the person, where are you from? I was just really not checking on my card. I was actually finding out if this was true. So I called up under the guise I'm checking on my card. Said, where are you from? We are from India. Oh, great. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. That's all I need to Bob.
It was great.
Spot on. Whoa.
Nailed it. It was like he was channeling the Indian customer service guy.
That's awful.
He's the best. Trumpster. I can't wait to vote for him. It's 8:47. Let's get traffic. And then, Dave, can you do a Hockopedia before the top?
I'd be delighted.
What's today's topic?
Game 7. I don't know why. It just kind of felt right.
Seems right. Mm-hmm. Does seem right. Coach Q at 9:10. Let's come back after we do traffic on 720 WGN. Coach Q, we're moving Coach Q to 9:20. A little traffic in St. Louis.
Around the net?
Not around the net,
oh, okay.
Unless it's on the Blues net. Then we like that net.
We like that kind of traffic.
We like a little puck luck, too. It'd be a good animated movie, Puck Luck.
Mm-hmm. Careful.
Remember Peter Puck?
I don't.
I think it was on one of the networks carrying the NHL.
They had
an animated character, Peter Puck.
Peter Puck?
And kind of taught you to hockey.
Peter Puck picked a puck?
Mm-hmm.
You're like the Peter Puck of the show because you teach us Hawkopedia.
You want to do it right now?
Sure.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
It's Hawkopedia time.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Hawkopedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Hawkopedia, sponsored by the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks, Fresh Wave. Remember Fresh Wave's slogan, we can fix any stink except the way the Blues played in the second period on Saturday night. Nobody could fix that. Ha-ha! That's actually part of the slogan, that last ha-ha.
Is that the John Weideman ha-ha?
Yeah, well, as close as I could get.
Yeah.
What's the topic today?
Game 7, Steve.
Oh, that seems right. Here's Dave.
Nothing quite like it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Blackhawks and Blues get to experience it tonight. This will be the 14th Game 7 in Blackhawks history, their fifth since 2011. That year, they lost in overtime in Vancouver after they had rallied from a 3-0 deficit to tie the series. In 2013, you remember, they beat Detroit in overtime at the United Center to win a series in which they had trailed 3-1 for the first time in franchise history.
Wasn't that a Brent Seabrook cannon?
Yes, it was. Just the 25th team to do it after a Nicklas Hjalmarsson goal had been disallowed, if you remember, with just a couple of minutes to go. 2014, they lost to L.A. in overtime at the United Center in the Western Conference Final. And last year, again in the Conference Final, they won in Anaheim. St. Louis is playing its 15th Game 7. The Blues are 6-8. This is their first Game 7 since losing to Vancouver in 2003. Their last win, 1999, they beat Phoenix in overtime. Their coach was Joel Quenneville. Blackhawks players have been part of 62 Game 7s. The Blues, just 14. And six of those belong to Troy Brouwer, whose first Game 7 was as a member of the Blackhawks in Vancouver in 2011.
So if we isolate Troy Brouwer tonight, we win?
I think that would be a good start, yes. This is just the second time the Hawks and Blues have met in a Game 7. Last time, 1990, when the Hawks crushed the Blues 8-2 at Chicago Stadium.
Doesn't have to be 8-2 tonight.
No, we'd settle for
7-2.
7-2.
Yeah.
One other note, this will be the 162nd Game 7 in Stanley Cup playoff history. One out of every four has been decided in overtime. When they go to overtime, the home team has 120 and the visiting team has 120. So whatever home ice advantage there might be when the game starts disappears once they've completed 60 minutes.
That's good. That's a good Hawkopedia. That's good information. Who are you picking tonight?
I'm going with the Hawks.
Me too, in overtime.
Of course.
How many overtimes?
I think one overtime.
One overtime.
And I think Taves wins it in overtime.
I'm going to say two overtimes, Hawks.
Double overtime?
Double overtime.
I like the Taves pick.
Yeah, Taves,
yeah.
Mr. Overtime.
Yeah.
I think Taves wins it in overtime. By a goal. Not by two, just by
right,
one.
Right.
Okay.
I got a couple of quickies in news that doesn't fit anywhere else coming up, but first here's this on 720 WGN. Just before 9 o'clock, I don't have time to do a lot of these, just a couple stories that don't fit anywhere else in the show.
Yeah.
Police have charged a family in Mississippi for cheering too loud at a high school graduation. You know, this is something that's come up again and again at graduations. It's graduation season now.
Yeah.
Through the month of May. And they always go, wait till everyone is done, then we'll do one loud cheer. Otherwise, we'll be here all day.
Yeah, and it lasts one person.
And then one family, Ursula Miller, one of four family members, just say they were handed a warrant for disturbing the peace 2 weeks after the graduation.
How loud did they cheer?
I don't know. I think, you know, like your kid graduates, you ought to be able to hoot.
Absolutely.
You ought to be able to holler.
Especially college, if you spent that kind of money.
Yeah,
I'm cheering.
On. And then there's a bunch of print stuff here we wouldn't have time to get to, but two quickies. Prince wanted to do, or I should say Weird Al Yankovic wanted to do a Prince song and made the request. Prince's attorneys telegrammed Weird Al, said, apparently you will be sitting in the same row at the American Music Awards. You are not allowed to look Prince in the eye, let alone parody any of his songs. And he once rented Carlos Boozer's house. Remember Carlos Boozer used to play for the Bulls?
Yeah.
Boozer was going to beat Prince up when he got home. Because he dyed the fountain outside the home purple, he converted the gate into his unpronounceable symbol, and turned the bedroom into a hairstyling salon.
Oh.
Prince, before Carlos Boozer could get to him, did what Prince does. He had his people call Boozer and say, I'm sending you a check for $1 million. If it's more than that, let me know to fix everything.
Here's the damages.
So, a couple of stories that don't fit anywhere else in the show. All right, thanks to Wintrust Community Banks for sponsoring this hour. We'll come back with Coach Q Hour, if you will. It'll be on in about 20 minutes on 720 WGN.
We're not going to take it. Never did and never will. We're not going to take it. Going to break it. Going to shake it. Let's forget it, better still.
Coach Joe Quenneville, I bet he sang that to the boys in the dressing room between periods. We're not going to take that first period.
Now you can hear me.
He loves the Who, and we love Coach Q. He's live in St. Louis. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
I was at the game Saturday, and I got a lot of calls from parents of kids who they need to finish strong for the end of the year. They'd like you to, whatever you said to the team, they'd like you to come to their house and say it to their kid. Can we work that out?
Well, I don't know. We didn't have to say too much. I know that we didn't mind the way we played in the first period. We just had to get back a little bit more detail-oriented, and a lot of hockey left. Let's stay with it. We're getting scoring chances and exploded with a tremendous second. But we felt that we've gotten better in the last couple of games here. Good progression in this series here. Should be excited about tonight.
That second period was as good as they've played all year. It was unbelievable. Just total dominance.
Well, we had it going. I for sure we had what we generated, what we gave up, is exactly what you'd look for. You know they're going to get their turn at any moment of the game, but that second period was we had a lot of the puck and we had a lot of speed, and that's what we're looking to bring tonight.
You remember Coach Dean Smith, North Carolina basketball coach for 1,000 years?
Yeah.
You remember he had that stall that he made famous, that boxing one? And he just wind the clock down. This is when they didn't have shot clocks in college basketball. So you go to that boxing one in the third period on the power play. I don't know that I'd ever seen it played that way. And I'm thinking, this is genius. They're going to have tired legs. They can't make a change. Kaner waits for his moment. Perfect dish to Shaw. Bang. There's your clincher. I love that.
Well, it was well played, and it was, sometimes you got to take what they get you or give you. And I thought we were patient, and that's what we're looking for. And a couple of real good plays that relieved the pressure there earlier on, and then like you said, it was keep it to the outside and ensure plays is what you're looking for. And we've seen what could happen the other way around, and a few years ago against Nashville.
So when you go home Saturday night, getting ready to come to St. Louis and all that. Do you spend more time wondering about the problems you had in the first or really digging what you had in the second period?
Well, we reminded them of what we didn't do well in the first period. They're all mistakes that are all preventable, and technically let's make sure we're attention to details what helps us get offensive zone chances and rush chances. So let's prioritize that checking is going to make us effective tonight. And but you got to remind them that you can't get ahead of yourselves here and take the one outscore of this team here, because they've got some real good offensive lines and some guys that can make plays, and they check pretty well too. So let's not get ahead of yourself, and let's play the right way, and then you get some stuff off of that.
What have you seen, Joel, from Ponick that prompted you to move him up and has allowed him to have the kind of series he's had?
He's played some games with Johnny in the last last handful of games, and looked like he's comfortable with top guys and has that skill level that deserving of playing in those situations as well. I thought he added a physical element in some of those games, and I thought he did a real good job physically in game five. And putting Shazi there in that situation, the start was something that we were saying, well, we'll try it and we'll see what happens. And because Shazi really didn't deserve it. He was one of our top guys coming out of the lineup after game four. And then, after the first period, we put him back up there, delivered in a big way with his presence physically with the puck, and that line really played well. He made some good plays offensively and defensively. I just like what he brought to the team, and we had a better four-line rotation after that as well. So it's a situation where today is the way the lines ended. We'll look at that tonight. But Richard probably played his two best games of the year in those two back-to-back games.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool, too, that he got the first star, because normally that's, as Doc Emmerich brought up this morning when he was on, that's scoring. You know, that's a couple of goals and an assist or whatever. But he earned it.
Absolutely. He made a defensive play in our own end, coming down, back checking, looking like the guy was going in all alone. You notice him in the puck area. You notice him at the net. You notice him with the puck. He had, drew a penalty on the power play, with his speed. In back-to-back games where he broke through for breakaways in the last two games.
There was a stat earlier that basically one out of every four Game 7s in Stanley Cup playoff history has ended up in overtime. You have coached the Blackhawks in four Game 7s. Three of those have gone to overtime. Why is that such a frequent occurrence when you get to a Game 7?
Oh, it's always close. It's always tight. And then that's basically everybody plays smart and they play the right way. And tough to forecast that, whether that's coincidence or not. But all our games have been close. And, I can think of back to the Vancouver, I think of LA, I think of quick reminder here,
Detroit.
Mm-hmm. I'm missing one more.
Well, Anaheim last year was regulation.
Anaheim was regulation. But, when you think about them, it's a... They stick, and you know exactly the situation. You know the play. You know what sometimes leads to the overtime, but you definitely know how it ended. And we're looking for a positive ending, whether it's there or, during the first 60.
That lad line, the Line King here. We named Coach Q the Line King, L-I-N-E, last year. The Line King, the lad line, was just smoking.
Played well. I know that when they got together here in game five, some responsibility and what we're looking for them to bring. And that's that, host played his two best games of the year back-to-back. Lottie scores. Crews get some responsibility in there. They've got quickness. They've got puck protection. And they had some offensive zone shifts. And, they got an awareness of what they really want to do. And that's shut down Tarasenko's group. And, there gives us some more balance in our lines, and that's why we probably had our best rotation in the last two games.
I know I'm almost positive you don't have to tell this team this, but a lot of coaches would have to remind them, we haven't won this yet. We got to win tonight. Because after Saturday, you extend it in five, you have this amazing game six. Younger teams might need some help in focusing.
Well, I think that our progression and never getting your head ourselves always in place. Well, we want to get better every single game. Our guys got to rise to the challenge again tonight. They always do it, and our top guys lead that charge. So we're looking to progress basically off of the levels we've been at. So it'll be fun to watch our team play tonight.
You don't need anything from us, do you? Just to enjoy it, because we're here for you.
I love the hello and the enthusiasm you guys brought this morning. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty great, right? Come on.
Yeah. They listen to the Who. What else do we want?
Hey, somebody the other day said a quote that was either attributed to you or somebody around you, that the statue to you is still up in St. Louis, and it's the Arch. Is that something you said or somebody else said?
I never heard that one.
That's pretty funny, the Arch being your mustache.
Oh, okay. I get it.
The Arch was crafted in the same curve as Coach Q's mustache.
Yeah, now you're getting carried away. All right.
No, dude, I'm telling you, somebody said it wasn't me. Listen, my stuff's way more creative than that.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Well, listen, enjoy the day. Can't wait for tonight. And, just looking forward to it. We're pretty cocky and a little confident here, but we get to be because we don't have to deliver. That's your job, and we're glad you're the one doing it.
All right, focus on attention and detail. Let's go.
All right. We're going to do the rest of the show the right way. Wow. Thanks, Q.
All right. Okay, guys.
He was yelling at you.
Yes, I know. I know.
He was yelling at you. Focus and attention to detail.
Can I throw one note in?
Yeah.
Remember last year how we marveled at Duncan Keith and all the ice time?
Yeah.
And he averaged in 23 games last year, averaged 31 minutes and 7 seconds of ice time. Mm-hmm. You know what his time is so far this year?
No.
It is 31 minutes and 3 seconds. Oh, he's funny. Slacking.
He really
he's
is.
4
well,
seconds
he's
off
older.
The pace.
He's getting older. That 4 seconds really helps him catch a breath. So, by the way, that also, coincidentally, is the total amount of time that I'm able to pay attention during a game. 31 minutes and 4 seconds. Other times I'm going, wow, look at that shiny thing.
Remember, it's going to be fine.
9:20, the voice of optimism, Andrea Darlis, was right about Game 5 and right about Game 6. Who you got tonight?
Hawks, of course. It's going to be fine.
One goal?
One goal. Yeah, they're going to win by one goal.
One goal.
It's like the bus that just went by us.
Yeah, in the middle of goal. How about this for an omen? In the middle of talking to Coach Q, Chicago City bus goes by, completely painted up in one goal red with Taves staring at us.
Yep. One goal.
It's a sign.
It is a sign.
It is.
Yeah. It's 9:21. We're back after this on 720 WGN. 9:26. Mark Doyle's here. Rags of Honor is silkscreen printed, beautiful shirts, hats.
Made in America.
Made in America and made by veterans.
Yes, sir.
Who were homeless, in some cases still are, who work for you.
Yes, sir.
Getting them back on their feet.
Yes, sir.
And how's business?
Business is good. We're coming into our busy period. And thankfully, we have folks in our life like Jay Blanc, Pete Hasson, and Laura Clausen from the Chicago Blackhawks, in addition to the WGN family. For anybody who was at the game or might go to NHL.com, they saw the video that Patrick Kane recorded for us. And we are now selling three brand new shirts at all the stores. Michigan Avenue, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, and according to Pete Hasson and Laura Clausen, we can actually sell the one online.
Because that's what you get a bunch of calls about. I want to buy it online. I can't make it to the Hawk store.
They want to get downtown, but they're in the surrounding area, so they still want to support us. So ragsofhonor.us, you can buy that cool Blackhawks t-shirt.
When will they be able to do that? Sometime later today after you get the hookup from the Hawks and all that?
It took about 14 seconds for Pete Hasson to say yes, of course. So they can just go to ragsofhonor.us and buy it today, and we'll ship it out this week.
Okay. You know the one I like? Because you like a different one than me.
Yeah, I like the one with the dog tags.
Yeah, the dog tag. Yeah. I like Duty Honor Hockey.
Very cool. Our new partner, Outer Stuff, came up with these designs, and they're one of the largest licensees in professional sports, and we're doing work with them. And I would be remiss if I didn't once again thank the amazing David Storch and the team at AAR.
Yeah, they're tremendous.
And G-Man, Greg Dellinger, is out there every day pounding away for us, trying to get corporate clients. And David Storch is just the CEO of the century.
Greg Dellinger is a great guy. He used to be a radio guy. He was a Radio Disney guy for years. And I hadn't seen him, and he came up behind me and nearly scared me to death because he's Greg Dellinger. Hey, Steve, how you doing? He's like the Energizer Bunny. He ate the Energizer Bunny. He never stops moving. And he believes.
No, he does. David Storch is between G-Man and Cheryl Jackson and Kathleen Cantillon and his team around him. They have been so supportive. And we're alive today because of David Storch. He gave us the capital we needed to get into the 10,000 square feet. We are actually, I'm on a mission right now to hire four more vets in the next month to handle the influx of business. So we're in deep. I'm in deep. But when you're going through.
When you're a believer, you spend your own money until you don't have any more. By the way, you passed that a month ago.
A year ago. Tough times don't last. Tough people do, right? So we got to keep going.
And what's the state of homeless vets in Chicago? Getting better, getting worse, staying the same?
And getting better, this mayor, to his great credit, a couple of years ago, I don't think he got enough credit for it. He put about, I think it was $20 million into his budget at a time when the city didn't have much money, but he was committed to it, to end homelessness. And he has been a real steward of this. There are still probably 800 homeless vets in Chicago. Way too many. Way, way too many. And one of the if you saw Rex Hupke's great article over the weekend, one of the problems they're having is...
The Tribune?
Yeah, in the Tribune. It's on the front page, apparently. Uh-huh. Rex has become a dear friend, loves the mission. Veterans are still getting hired, but some of them are just having a tough time assimilating. And so they're having a hard time staying in the jobs. And one of the things I think that we do great is we're very flexible. And if people have some tough times and they need to go to the VA, they go, right? And they're surrounded by people who've been in similar situations. So we've created a really good environment for people to flourish, I think.
You've got to be able to understand what it was like to be them, and to have people who have actually walked that walk's a big deal, right?
It is, and it's one of the things I see on the floor. We've got all the branches, and white, Hispanic, African-American, all with that one common bond, two common bonds. One, they served, and two, ended up in a really bad place. And so there is such a bond on that floor, and you see them working together. It is one of the great joys of my life to go in that shop and see these folks just banging stuff out and working together. We have some other great news, too. I don't know if we have to take a break.
No, we have to take a break. You're going to have to stick around for a couple minutes.
All right. I'm going to stick around. Right. Let's go let's go to the big board.
It's always entertaining when Mark tries to run the show. Happy birthday today. We're going to go to the big story, or are we going to a break? You tell me. We're going to go to a break. But a happy birthday mentioned today, before I forget, to the lovely Elaine Ristich. You know Dr. Sam Ristich?
Yes.
It's his mom.
Oh, happy birthday.
Mom turns a big 8-0 today. That's a big one.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Elaine. Always liked you better than Sam. It's 9:31. We're back after this with a big story and more from Mark Doyle on Rags of Honor. RagsofHonor.us. RagsofHonor.everything should get you there.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:41, Mark Doyle's here. Mark, a political guru for many, many years. Mark taught me what a forensic accountant is. You know what a forensic accountant is?
I do not. What is a forensic accountant?
Like when somebody dies at CSI and they're a CPA, then that would be forensic accounting.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
No,
forensic accounting is not ledger books filled with numbers where you go, this has to balance that, and this is how much we got coming in, this is how much we got coming out. Forensic accounting is going back and looking at the DNA of an accounting case, what actually happened. Right?
What happens in bankruptcies, yes. They go back and try and unwind.
So let me tell you what a good friend I am to Mark Doyle. So about 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I forget. Mark goes, they got to have lunch, so we have lunch. And he goes, I'm going to Afghanistan. I'm going to live in a
shipping container. Well, actually, I lived in a tent for 6 weeks.
I'm going to live in a tent. He said, I'm going to go to Afghanistan. They're supposed to pick me up at the airport. They won't. They'll forget. And then I'll be in a very dangerous situation. And then somebody will pick me up, and they'll drive me around the city so we don't get missiled. And then we go in. I'll live in a tent for 6 weeks, and I'll live in a shipping container.
No plumbing.
This is when we were looking for it. Do you remember the previous Afghan president?
Hamid Karzai?
Yeah. His brother was as dirty as a day is long. Not that Karzai wasn't dirty. So Mark was asked by the government, special ops people, to go in and find the dirty money, figure out where all the money went. So he goes to me. He goes, what do you think? I go, I think it's the dumbest idea I have ever heard. Are you kidding me?
And Mark said, see ya.
Yeah, so he goes to Afghanistan. He sees incredibly brave men and women serving. He sees innocent Afghanis. He sees government money. Just, there's a technical term for this in accounting, pissed away on stuff that'll never be used. Factories that can't be hooked up to hydroelectric power. Roads to nowhere in a society that doesn't have any cars. And he taught me that you should take those kind of chances. You know what else he taught me about Afghanistan? You don't even know this. You know why Afghanistan will never be a democracy? You know why it'll never not be in a state of turmoil? No centralized banking system. No way to collect taxes. No way to distribute the funds collected by a government, even if they were just. So I said, this guy over here, this Doyle guy, this guy's smart. So fast forward, it's 5 years later, 7 years later, whatever, it doesn't matter. He goes, we got to have lunch. Every time he's got to have lunch, he's
something
got another scheme, right?
a proposal.
And by the way, he's plenty busy. Yeah. It's not like he doesn't have stuff to do. So we go and we have lunch, and I'm hoping I'm going to hear funny stories about when he used to make President Clinton run around like a knucklehead. But no, what I hear is, okay, I got this idea.
I did put a rubber chicken. The very last time I did an event for Clinton, I did put a rubber chicken on the goose.
The podium. Really?
I did.
Wait, on the podium?
Uh-huh.
So he goes up to speak and there's a rubber chicken.
And he looks down, and on top of his nose is a rubber chicken. And Secret Service is a little bit peeved by it.
How are you not in jail?
I have no idea.
Did you also, you were the first guy to bring M&M's into the White House, weren't you? The M&M's had a little logo on them?
That was me.
Yeah, he's a guy. Yeah. All right, so he goes, we're going to have lunch. We go to have lunch. And you know what Mark Doyle says to me? He says, listen, we got to do something about homelessness. And of course, I mean, my brother was homeless. I get it. Absolutely, I'm all in. He goes, so I'm going to open a company, and we're going to hire homeless vets. He goes, what do you think? This is the dumbest idea you've had since Afghanistan. But I knew it was your passion, and I saluted you then. I salute you now, because Rags of Honor has turned into this amazing story of the little company that couldn't, that turned out it could, with vets who have literally been, can you imagine coming home from serving America, the greatest nation on earth, and you're homeless?
That's still unbelievable. It really is.
It's incredible. So how many vets have you put through the program?
34 have come through our doors. We had 12 or 13 full-time, as we've said on the show before. Some were from the VA. They just called and said, we have somebody who's really in trouble. I have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am the worst businessman in America. And so
here's why. Here's how you get hired by Mark. You go up and go, Mr. Doyle, I've heard about Rags of Honor.
Okay, you're hired.
That's right. You don't even get who's a kid that wanted to show you his resume?
Yeah, Jason. They worked for me for a year until we got him back home in Indiana. I said, what do you do in Afghanistan? I was a mechanic. He said, that is great. You're hired. And okay. So next day, fast forward, he's working. He said, sir, do you have a minute? Sure. You know, you didn't really ask me anything about my personal self or my background or anything. Do you anything you want to know about me? I said, whatever. All right, sit down. Tell me about yourself. Just the worst. If it weren't for David Storch, God knows where I'd be.
Kid spends hours putting a resume together, and you don't even look
skills,
at it.
Skills, right? They were teaching interviewing skills. Yeah. Look him straight in the eye, shake his hand, tell him about your passion. He said, I was a mechanic. Good enough for me. You're hired. Done.
There was another family, I believe, that came through. This guy was severely burned.
Oh, Greg Hughes.
Yeah, and this guy is one of the all-time heroes.
Greg Hughes. Major Greg Hughes was burned over 50% of his body in Afghanistan.
And was it an IED?
It was a pressure-plated IED. It was detonated, they think, by one of his Afghan trainees. He was almost burned to death. He had 22 surgeries. He had to learn to walk again. And he helped me at the Rags of Honor for-profit side, and then he helped me set up my foundation. He and his wife, Allie, who Allie was a helicopter pilot as well, and just two of the most amazing people. He is.
Can you imagine having that kind of horrific thing happening, going, when I get home, I want to do more?
Yeah. No, he's getting his MBA right now. And then he worked with me for 6 or 7 months, and now he's over at Merrill Lynch, where he's doing private wealth management.
God bless him. It's a great story.
No, he's one of the most and the funniest, kindest, toughest, meanest person you ever met, but he is just the greatest soul.
You spent years around President Clinton. You know a lot of famous people. You've seen the absolute height of the circles of power. Vice President Biden is almost a father figure.
Yeah.
And so you've seen plenty of cool stuff in your life. In the past 2 to 3 years you've been doing Rags, has anything meant more to you than that?
No. And as I've said, you know, oftentimes, I can't change the whole world, right? You run for president to change the whole world. But every day you can change the world around you. And when I get texts from my team saying, boss, I don't know where I'd be without you. I owe you my life. When I get cards from Tamika's son saying, thank you for taking care of my mom.
How about that? That'll make you cry.
Yeah, it makes it all worth it. There's still a lot to do. We still need to hire folks. There's still so many people in need.
And I got to be honest with you, we need business. Business is fine. Fine's not good enough. We need to take it up a notch, not just because my friend Mark has put all of his money in and took my wallet 10 minutes ago when I thought I wasn't looking, but because there's so many people who have stepped up. The rest of us need to step up as well. And you guys are putting out quality product.
We do beautiful work. Our work is so good, in fact, that Outer Stuff, one of the largest licensees in professional sports, is using us now. Every Youth Cub T-shirt you buy in the city was probably printed by us. And these from folks who were living in their car when I met them. They can do the job. But let me tell you, what we do is hard. Hiring people who have been damaged and who have been lost everything and who are living in their cars or living in shelters is not easy. And paying them twice the national minimum wage,
right,
it's not a recipe.
Not exactly a sound business model.
I'm the worst businessman in America, but they deserve a shot. So what we
exactly
do,
right.
Yeah. And so what I found is they can do any job. You just got to train them up. You got to be a little patient, and you got to let them know you love them, and that when they come to work, they got a safe place, that you're going to push them a little bit, but that they're never going to get fired.
They're going to have expectations.
Yep.
They're going to have to meet certain responsibilities, yep. But in exchange for that, they're also going to learn how to trust people again, and they're going to learn that this country cares about them and people care about them again.
And that there's a path back to getting in the circle of commerce, to go in and get one of the guys who works for me, quick story, he was homeless. We got him a bank account. We got him an apartment. And my friend at Thresholds has a program where they'll get beds for folks. Generally, I try and use the foundation for that. But he said, boss, I got it. He comes back 2 hours later. I said, how did it go? Not a joke. He said, sir, I'm so blessed. I not only got a mattress, I got a box spring, too. That's where the bar was for him.
Simple things.
Right? So, as I say to everybody, from the Chicago Blackhawks, who are the greatest organization in sports, and I say that...
Nothing close.
Nobody close, to everybody who listens to the show. If you can't help a veteran every day on your own, go to ragsofhonor.us, because you are helping somebody.
And it's crucial that you do, because not only are you going to get a great product in exchange for your purchase, you're also going to make a difference in a vet's life. Yeah. And it's a big deal. It really is a big deal. So, again, let's remind people, the new Blackhawk shirts?
The new Blackhawk shirts. Go to Old Orchard or Michigan Avenue or Oak Brook, and there's Duty Honor Hockey, very cool T-shirt.
I love that shirt.
The big dog tag T-shirt.
Love,
and then we got a
tags.
Chicago Star. And this year at the draft, go down to Michigan Avenue, go to Draft Town, look for our banner, look for the Made in Chicago Youth T-shirt and the Draft Town T-shirt. First time ever the NFL is letting us roll out a T-shirt for the draft. We're very excited about it.
The business continues to grow with the typical stops and starts that any business would have. But with your help, you can take it to the next level.
Absolutely. Can't do it without you all.
I got to tell you something. If it wasn't for Afghanistan, there wouldn't be Rags of Honor, because that experience led to this. And really, like so many people, I would just say, if you've learned anything from the show today, learn this. Don't listen to any advice from me.
And don't go into business with me if you can help it. You'll be broke.
Support Rags of Honor. All right, buddy. We love you.
Thank you.
And don't go away. Because there's other people here whose purses you can go through before you.
That's awesome, right?
All right, at 9:52, you're looking to secure financing in a new home. Oh, here's another guy. David Hochberg. How great has David Hochberg been?
The best. Yeah. The best. He's been so good to Tamika. He's one of our great clients.
Right.
Every time he needs, whether or not he needs 500 T-shirts, he comes and buys them from us anyway.
Yeah, any company that needs shirts for any reason, Rags of Honor.
Yeah, fun runs, yeah. Family reunions.
All these events that go on,
teams.
Block parties.
Yeah.
So, Rags of Honor.